our text comes to us from Paul's first letter to Timothy, the first chapter. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 17. Paul writes to Timothy saying, Charen echo, I am having grace or thanks. I'm thankful. I have thanks. To endunamosante me. What he has thanks for or to is the one who has empowered him, the one who has given me endunamosante me strength or power. The one who has empowered him, of course, is Christ Jesus, Christo Jesu, our Lord, to kureo hemon. Going back to form that's kind of lengthy, endunamosante is of the verb endunamao, I empower. So that would be here a, let's see now, aorist, participle, active, masculine, singular, and dative. It looks like a dative of respect, so I have thanks with respect to the one who has empowered me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because, huti, he judged me. Here the form of the verb hegesata is aorist, indicative middle, third person singular of the verb hegeomai. He, that is to say, the previously mentioned Jesus, reckoned me, judged me, thought of me, considered me, piston, faithful. The verb takes a double accusative construction here. Me is the direct object. The object complement is the accusative of the adjective pistos. Here it's piston. Judged me faithful. Faithful how so? Or, in what respect? Themenos es diakonion. Themenos is another participle, actually. It's a form of the verb tithemē. This one's a little tricky with the loss of the tau iota. But that tells you something about the form. It's not a present stem form here. It's an aorist stem form. You need to know those principal parts for tithemē to track this one down, or a little Bible software to help you out. The form is aorist, participle, middle, masculine, singular, nominative. The referent here, the one doing the appointing, is, of course, the same subject. It's Christ Jesus, the subject of hegesata. The participles in predicate position, it just might be causal, in the same way that, because everything going on here with the two verb forms belongs to this causal clause. In any case, the participle looks to be closely allied or coordinated with that verb that precedes it. Both verbs here are belonging to that causal clause. Judged me faithful and, is a way that we might translate it, and appointed me eis diakonion for the sake of service. Diakonia, service. Verse 13. Even though ta proteron onta, the text, our passage here is rich with participles. Tracking with the participles is often everything and making decent sense of these texts. Onta is of the verb eime, the linking verb, the copula, the verb to be. Here the verb form is another participle, a present participle, active, masculine, singular, but here it's accusative, on ta. The ending tells you that it's accusative. Why is this participle accusative? It's accusative because the referent of the participle has to agree with the participle in gender, number, and case, and it does so. So we back up to find something that is appropriately singular and accusative. What you have to back up to is the me, the personal pronoun me, from the previous verse, judged me faithful, to be faithful. Met is the referent here, so the one being in verse 13 is the same, you know, Paul who's doing the writing here. The participle, predicate position, it doesn't follow after a definite article, so that's a first clue. The predicate position participle looks to be concessive and therefore should be translated even though. Even though I was, present stem participle, but the participle here is depending upon the aorist tense verb forms from the previous verse for its time sense, so we translate in the past. Even though I was ta proteron, firstly or formerly, ta proteron is actually a substantized, we should parse this form to make sense of what's going on with it. It's an adjective, but it is of the form proteros. The definite article modifying the form helps us to notice that it is neuter, singular, and in this case, right here anyway, the form is accusative. That's important for us to notice, so that we can also recall that neuter, singular, accusative forms of adjectives regularly function as adverbs. So even though I was formerly, in a previous lifetime, that is, blasphemon, a blasphemer. Okay, blasphemon is of the of the noun blasphemos. It too is masculine, singular, and accusative here, even with the linking verb eme. You're kind of expecting with eme a predicate nominative with constructions involving the use of the linking verb, but here it's accusative because unta is accusative. Unta is accusative again because me in the previous verse is accusative. Hence the string of accusatives here. Even though I was a blasphemer, blasphemon, kai de octane, and a persecutor, kai hubristain, and an insolent, the noun hubristain is of the noun hubristes. Hubristes is an insolent person. So, you know, a person described by insolence. He's actually saying some astoundingly strong things about himself. How much more against the things of God can a person be when he is, if he is, a blasphemer, a persecutor of the Christian way, and does this with, you know, kind of malice aforethought, with great insolence. He's saying he was the lowest of the low in his previous life. But Allah follows the strong adversative. Allah ela ethane, I was mercified. Ela ethane is aorist indicative passive first person singular of the verb ele'e'o, I grant or give or show mercy to. Here, the verb form is in the passive. I was mercified. I received mercy, you know, in spite of what I was, you know, astoundingly contrary to the purposes of God and to the goodness of God as I was, I experienced mercy, he declares, and then follows a hatte, introducing a causal clause. The causal clause may take us a little bit by surprise. Why did he receive mercy? Well, you would sort of expect Paul to be saying, because God is merciful, because God is a great God, because God does not count our sins against us, or some such thing. But no, instead, he says a fairly, surprising, I suppose, thing. Certainly a thing that we need to pay close and careful attention to make sure that we reasonably appropriate what he apparently has in mind to say here. Because hote agnaon, acting, being ignorant, epoi esa, I did or I acted en apestia, in unbelief. Well, what does he mean by that? Is he trying to say that if we act out of ignorance, God doesn't count those things against us? No, he's not saying such a thing. It may initially appear that he is saying to us such a thing, but no such thing is intended. What he's saying, it seems, is that as bad as it was, as bad as his previous conduct and life was before God, it did not constitute a life devoted to opposition, to intentional and persistent opposition to the goodness of God. In fact, Paul believed in his previous lifetime that he was serving God in opposing the Christian movement. He's saying here then that he acted out of ignorance. He thought that he was for God, but was in fact against God, out of ignorance. The heart that is so sadly turned against God out of ignorance is a heart that God can turn toward him. The heart that God does not turn toward him is the one that is obstinately and willfully and persistently determined not to be for the things of God. So what Paul is here saying, it seems, is that God was good to turn his ignorance to his goodness through Christ, through the mercy of Christ. Verse 14, he pleonasen de he charis, and the grace overflowed, hyper eple nazo, is the verb for I overflow. Here the verb is aorist indicative, active, third person singular. The grace, he charis, of our Lord, tu kuriu hemon, overflowed with faith, meta pisteos, and love, kai agapes, perhaps the faith and love, because tase follows here, as would a relative pronoun function. It causes en Christo Jesu to be adjectival, the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So the grace of our Lord, instead of the former character of my life resulting in death for me, God was merciful to me, turned me to his mercy in Christ, and in place of the blasphemy and the persecutions and the insolence, God poured upon me, made to overflow for me, the grace of our Lord, with the faith and the love which is in Christ Jesus. So he's speaking of a remarkable transformation. Verse 15. The saying, ha logos, is faithful, trustworthy, pistos, and Now we're noticing here that there's no verb. The verb is assumed. We're assuming then, providing then in English translation, the verb to be, the saying or the word is faithful and kai, worthy. We're jumping down to axios, worthy of all acceptance or approval. The noun apadache means acceptance or approval. The word is worthy of, is faithful. The saying is faithful and worthy of all acceptance or approval. That. Hutti introduces a clause of indirect discourse. That Christ Jesus, Christos Jesus, Eothen, the aorist of Erchemai, came into the world, eston kosmon, hamartelous sosai, to save. The infinitive of purpose here is the infinitive of sozo, sosai, to save, hamartelous, sinners. The substantized form of the adjective for a sinful person or thing. Hamartolos here is hamartelous, plural and accusative, so that it could serve as the direct object of the infinitive. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hon, that's a relative pronoun. The rough breathing and the accent there tells you that it's a relative pronoun. It's masculine, plural, and genitive. The antecedent there is sinners. You're looking for something that's masculine and plural from the immediately preceding context. That would be the aforementioned sinners. Sinners of which, we're translating hon, I am ego eimi, or here it's reversed, eimi ego, of which I am protos, first, the foremost one. That's a predicate adjective there, protos. Verse 16, Allah, but, de atuta, for this reason, following the prepositional phrase, we have another form of ele e'o. It's the same form. I was mercified. I received mercy in order that, hina, in me, en emoi, Christ Jesus might, hina takes the subjunctive, this is a purpose clause, in order that Christ Jesus might make known, show forth, demonstrate in me, en emoi, proto, he recalls with this second use of protos, that he's still thinking of himself as the foremost of sinners, chief of sinners. Chief of sinners, though he be, Christ showed in him all patience. And deixetai, then, is an aorist subjunctive middle of endeichnumen. It's third person singular. And the direct object follows tain hapasin makrothamitan, showed me, demonstrated in me, exhibited in me, the first and foremost of sinners, all patience, makrothamita. Pros hypotyposin. Now here's an interesting suggestion. Toward or for the sake of or as an example, a hypotyposis is a prototype, a standard, an example. A prototypical example is he. A prototypical example of the intention of our God is he. Tone melanton, that's another participle, a participle of the verb mellow, I am about to, or something is about to. So he's a prototypical example with respect to those who are about to believe. Tone melanton, pistuain, The verb mellow takes its complement as in the form of an infinitive. So the infinitive of pistuo follows. For the sake of, with respect to those who were about to believe on him, in him, toward or for the sake of the life of the age to come. So, well, we'll save comment to the end of verse 17. Paul then wraps up to the king of the age which is to come, the age of the ages, to de basilei, to the king who is Jesus, ton ionon of the ages, aphtharto, immortal, aorato, invisible. All of these things are in the dative. It's a string of datives following after the reference to basilei, which is in the dative, to the king of the ages, immortal, aphtharto, invisible, aorato, the only God, mono theo. Again, the verb to be is assumed. In English, we typically need to supply it. You know, to this king of the ages be glory, time, and, honor, time, and glory, getting a little ahead of myself there, doxa, into the ages of the ages. I mean, he's talking about the age which is to come, which is even now in that which Christ provides. Eis tus ionas, ton ionon. It's just this heaping up of eschatological language that he's offering here at the end. Amen. We're starting to run out of the time that I'm supposed to be using. I want to be sure to say this about this most intriguing self-description that Paul offers at the very beginning of his letter to 1 Timothy. We should be noting, I would suggest, you know, a rather conspicuous thing about this that attends this self-description of the apostle in referring to his credentials for saying anything to Timothy, which in having any prerogative at all to instruct Timothy, the one that he has left behind in the great city of Ephesus, to do anything. You know, we should be noticing that the great apostle to the Gentiles does not brag on himself when he speaks to his credentials for saying anything to Timothy. Instead, he speaks of his own lowliness, preferring instead to exalt, of course, to brag, to boast on the greatness of Christ. Only through Christ do any of us receive good things, do any of us find good charges in this world to perform. He, in all important and prototypical terms, in presuming to be who he is, which is exactly what he must be, never resorts to, at least here, at the very beginning of this letter, you know, in no way resorts to exalting himself in order to justify the role that he takes in relationship to Timothy. Instead, and there's much for us to learn here and to emulate here from this prototypical one. Instead, he makes himself low, exalting the greatness of Christ and the great things that Christ has done for him, suggesting, of course, to Timothy and to the rest of us as well, that if anything is great, it's because God is great. To the God, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.